Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. I'm Elizabeth, and I'm still very much in a Moulin Rouge state of mind. It's been just over 1 week since Aaron and JoJo completed their 12-week run, and it still all feels just so fresh. I just want the memories from that day to go on and just live in my mind forever because it was all so special. Moulin Rouge has grown and evolved so much since its early days at the Emerson Colonial Theater in Boston. Numbers have changed, song choices, costumes, principals, ensemble members, the list goes on. But the show has never lost sight of its ideals of truth, beauty, freedom, and love. So for this week's episode, I thought it might be fun to go back and rewatch the Boston version of Moulin Rouge and just talk about the changes, or some of the changes that were made within the show as it transferred from Boston to Broadway. Through the years, so many have shared favorite moments from Boston that they wish transferred over, as well as some that they're glad that were left behind. So let's talk about it. Aaron and JoJo's run and final show, like I said, it's still so fresh in my mind that going back to the beginning days of Boston was definitely a journey. But back in 2018, Moulin Rouge performed at the newly renovated Emerson Colonial Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. And it's funny watching the Boston video because Aaron's hair now from his 6.0 run as Christian is so familiar to what it was in Boston, and I am here for it. But right from the opening number, there's big differences in songs. In Boston, the Bohemians enter, sing, and dance to Rhythm of the Night.
Beloved Bohemians!
When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the madness has got you going crazy, it's time to get out. Step out into the street where all of the action is right there at your feet. Now I know a place where we can dance the whole night away, and it's called the Moulin Rouge. Just come with me and we will shake your boots right away. You'll be doing fine once the music starts. Oh, 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 oh. Be in the rhythm of the night, dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind,
you can leave them all behind. Under the streetlight, the scene is being set. A night for romance, a night we won't forget. Tonight is gonna be a night like never. The Moulin Rouge is going on. Can you
hear? When the horns come in the opening number, Aaron, Saul, and Ricky, they still pop out and dance with the horns, which I love from Broadway too, because Aaron's joy is always so apparent right off the bat when he's getting into it with that part of the number. Before the ending, the Boston choreography is different from what we know now with the watch out, you might get what you're after choreography that we've come to know and love from Broadway. So if you've had the chance to see both Boston and Broadway, like, which did you prefer, with Rhythm of the Night or Burning Down the House? Me, I'm definitely partial to Burning Down the House, and that may just be because I'm so used to it. But I also love the choreography at the ending of that number, setting up Aaron's line of, it's incredible here. Throughout the Boston production, there are also many parts of dialogue that have been altered or cut. And one early example in the show is when Christian is about to introduce the story for the audience. And on Broadway, he starts with his iconic line of, this is a story about love, about passionate love and desperate love, the kind of love you'll never forget. And in Boston, he opened like this.
This is a story about love. The woman I loved is dead now. She died in my arms. It's so hard for me to talk about even now. What are the words? This is a story about a woman named Satine.
And again, I personally like that they removed the part of this monologue talking about Satine's death to kick off the show on Broadway. To me, the Boston monologue, it brings the show down a bit from the start, whereas Broadway keeps it more upbeat following that energetic opening number. And I love the little exchange during the monologue on Broadway when Christian talks about that one enchanted evening when your eyes meet across a crowded room and Ziedler and Christian connect and make little faces at each other. And while each actor who has stepped into these roles since the OGs have brought their own flair and uniqueness to the role, it was so special to see the OG Bohemians of Saul, Ricky, and Aaron back together on stage with rewatching Boston. Okay, let's talk about Satine's red dress at the start of Diamonds. KO comes down on the swing to kick off Diamonds in a red dress and a black hat. And KO has shared that at the start of the Boston run, the swing that she descends on, it was more of a full seat for her to be on, aka why it was possible for Aaron and KO to descend on the swing together that one time during the bows in Boston. And now the swing has become just a bar that Satine is seated on and buckled onto. And in Boston, KO was lowered all the way down to the stage on the swing. She unbuckles herself, she stands up by herself, and goes into the number. And that transition has been elevated in a way on Broadway now that the swing does not descend all the way down, and instead Satine is lifted down from the swing and lowered to the stage by ensemble members who are a part of the number. Having had the opportunity to see the Broadway production so many times, any little difference in dialogue or song lyric stood out so quickly in Boston, and it even does on Broadway, like just depending on who's saying it and what night. But for example, after Satine and Christian, after they bump into each other for the surprise, Christian asks if he can buy her a drink, and then he says he can't because he doesn't have any money. And on Broadway, Satine says, "Excuse me." But in Boston, Satine said, "I've heard that about your kind, never carrying money around." And it's like that cue to the audience, like remembering, like she thinks Christian's the Duke. The Boston version did include more or longer moments between Satine and the Lady M's that are not necessarily seen in the Broadway production. Like as they talked about the possibility of the Moulin Rouge closing and the building being turned into a whorehouse. In Boston, after that, the Lady M's leave, but Baby Doll stays behind, and it's just them and Satine when she calls them a gorgeous creature and says that they're safe at the Rouge. Whereas on Broadway, that conversation happens with all of the Lady M's present. They also have their own number in Act 2, Shake It Out, after rehearsal scene 2. And it starts with the Lady M's and Ziedler, and then Satine comes in and joins, and it ends with just Satine and Ziedler.
And I'm ready to suffer.
And I'm ready to hold.
Shot in the dark and it's right at my throat. Cause looking for heaven, found the devil in me.
Oh, looking for heaven, found the devil in me.
Well, what the hell? I'm gonna let it happen to me.
Shake it out!
Over the years, I've heard mixed things from people about the Shake It Out scene, and personally, I like it. I wish it could have transferred over with the show to Broadway, even if it had to be tweaked. It was just special to have a scene that was just Lady Ems and Ziedler in the Moulin Rouge. Like, really, their only scene together on Broadway was after rehearsal scene two, when they're talking about the show being finished. Like, well, not talking, they're yelling at each other about the show being finished, and that's when they realize that Satine is sick and dying. But, okay, sorry, I jumped ahead. Back to Act One. The scene between Satine and Christian before Your Song has become iconic on Broadway and has grown so much with each Satine over the years and with each Christian. And in the version I watched from Boston, Satine didn't do the little movement that she does now to align with Christian saying that if she's really open, she'll enjoy it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But going into Your Song, Aaron performed it differently and it on Boston, and it sounded so beautiful.
Life is while you're in the world.
So excuse me for getting these things I do. You see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes that I've ever seen.
You can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is when you're in the world. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is, how wonderful.
The next moment I'll mention that's a little different from Boston to Broadway, it's so minor, but it's one that my friend Jill has brought up a few times before to me about the different Christians. Aaron, when he is Christian on Broadway, after a pitch song, when he's alone in the dressing room with Satine and Ziedler, he and like Ziedler and Satine are having their exchange, Christian's over to the side and he's playing with the tassels on her curtains and the lamp when Ziedler is talking to Satine. And Jill has shared that while the Ziedler-Satine conversation is happening, other Christians have sat down on the bench next to the heart balcony, like the one that Aaron jumps up on in Elephant Love Medley. In the Boston version, Aaron does sit on that bench. He doesn't do it in Broadway, and he doesn't sit until Ziedler starts talking about the Duke being her last chance to rise. It's like reality hits him again, and he has to sit down. Another Ziedler moment that has been individualized based on each Ziedler is the "you go" on Broadway as he's leaving Satine's dressing room. Danny didn't do that line in the Boston version, and so many of us have come to love the Ziedlers doing it on Broadway because it's so different. Like, just thinking about Austin Durant, how he would do it with, he would change his voice to be high-pitched. Eric would be so forceful. Frank was a combination of Eric and Austin. Like, everybody does it differently. It's just a little Ziedler thing. And one of the last differences that I'll mention from Act One happened during Elephant Love Medley. At the start of it, when Christian is proposing that they have just one night and Satine says there's no way because you can't pay, in Boston, Christian goes right into the next line of In the Name of Love. Now, when he does it, he takes a beat between Satine's line and then delivering his, which just makes such a difference in the comedic timing, like just and setting the scene for the song. Like, she's like, you can't pay, and he kind of stops. It freezes him for a second, be like, oh yeah. But then he proposes they do it in the name of love. And then, of course, we know that the Boston version of Elephant Love Medley incorporates Come What May. And while I love both versions, I love that this Come What May version has remained unique to Boston. And I also love the way that it's still staged and ends on Broadway. But I love that the Come What May portion, we don't get the Come What May until later in Act Two when Christian and Satine sing it together. On to Act Two. I made my husband come and watch Backstage Romance from Boston with me, since that's his favorite scene, and we got to relive the days of the backflip before Flying Christian. I mean, long live the backflip. I definitely miss it being in that number. And the theatrics of the rehearsal scene after that number have definitely been elevated as the show has gone on through the years, and it's kind of wild now to watch how almost subdued Danny was at Ziedler early on during that scene. Like, I never saw him on Broadway, so I'm sure he grew into it and got more like intense and elaborate with it as it went on. But just for me right now, where I'm at coming off of last weekend, like Frank's Ziedler antics during that scene on Broadway, they're still so fresh. So it was like a very stark difference between the two. K.O. and Aaron's Come What May, nothing beats the OGs singing that beautiful song, and yet I'm still so attached to JoJo's affection to Aaron during that scene. But anyway, at the start of the scene, I picked up on another little line that was different when Christian and Satine, they're first alone in Toulouse's apartment, and she tells him they need to be careful. Instead of Christian delivering the line like he does on Broadway, where he says, "The way he treats you like a possession," Aaron said, "The way he treats you like one of his horses." Again, subtle, but noticeable. For me, the greatest differences between Boston and Broadway happen within the chandelier Roxanne scenes. Just the way the whole scenes and that part of the show are introduced are so different. Christian's actions and dialogue, they're much darker in Boston, and instead of the set rising and all three bohemians walking forward like they do now in Boston, Christian walks forward solo and goes into a monologue before the lighting changes and the bohemians are with him in Toulouse's apartment. It's like how in Act One, when Toulouse and Santiago are trying to rope Christian into joining their show and they're seated at the table and the spotlight hits Christian and the other two just like freeze for a moment in time. The setup in Chandelier is like that. And then when the lighting changes, it puts Christian back into the moment with his bohemians as he's starting to spiral.
When you try to write a song, you have to feel something. But all I felt was anger and pain. I only saw Satine in rehearsal now. And we didn't speak. She wouldn't even look at me. Week after week. And that's when I started to go mad.
You have to get a hold of yourself, Christian. We open tomorrow night. This is about more than your love affair.
I can't think about the show. I can't think about anything. You need to forget her, my friend. Move on with your life. Don't you think I've tried? I close my eyes at night and I see her. I wake up and she's still there. It's like she's haunting me. Across the room, in my mind, all the time. I can't take it another night. I swear I should fling myself from this window. or walk into the sin and let it cover me.
You don't mean that.
You have no idea what I'm capable of. I hope you never find out.
We can't let him go. He'll hurt himself.
Then, of course, Chandelier in Boston is performed by Toulouse, Santiago, and Christian instead of being led by Ziedler. And it's just the three of them in Toulouse's apartment until Satine comes down on the swing as the Green Fairy, and then other Green Fairies appear throughout the apartment. And I like the addition of the other Green Fairies throughout the scene, but I'm also partial to the way that the scene is now with Ziedler and the Lady M's and the others also being in that apartment. So it's kind of like the world's colliding as everything is spiraling out of control for Christian.
I'm the one for a good time, call phones blowing up, ringing my doorbell. I feel the love, I feel the love.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. Throw 'em back till I lose count.
I'm gonna swing from the chandelier, from the chandelier. I'm gonna live like tomorrow doesn't exist, like it doesn't exist. I'm gonna fly.
Holding on for tonight, help me, I'm holding on for dear life. Won't look down, won't open my eyes, keep my glass full until morning light. 'Cause I'm just holding on for tonight, on for tonight, on for tonight, on for tonight.
And then the trench coat transition. It has become a moment on Broadway where the audience always cheers when Aaron or whoever is playing Christian, they cheer as he emerges through the ladder in the trench coat because we all know what's about to happen. And I remember my first time or two seeing the show on Broadway when he would emerge in the jacket and I was trying to figure out, like, when did he get that on? How did it happen so fast? Whereas in Boston, it's another scene where Aaron is by himself after Chandelier and he walks off the stage to get the jacket himself and then he comes back. And when he comes back, there's the thunder, the lightning signaling the change and boom. In the corner, a spotlight comes on and Ziedler starts into Word to the Wise. And it's pretty incredible how the trench coat transition and the trench coat itself have become such an iconic part of the show. And now even more so as it has replaced the bow jacket for Christian at the end of the show. I wonder when or why the lyric change happened from all of the put on the red lights to the addition of help me, I'm holding on for dear life when Christian jumps forward on the stage before going back to go into Why Does My Heart Cry. I still can't believe I had the chance to experience that Chandelier Roxanne mashup live at Aaron and JoJo's last show. Like, experiencing that performance and the energy from the audience during it, it is something I'll never forget. And now I know there are other differences between the two productions, but just for the sake of time, jumping to the end, when Christian points the gun at himself in the final scene, Satine, she is bent down on the ground. And as she turns to look at him, she starts at the beginning of Come What May to sing to Christian, instead of starting right into the refrain like she does now. And I do love so much how for the end of that song, all the lights come up and the audience can see the entire company on stage before it all goes dark. And then how the lights come back up for them to take their bows. And even now, with the show being on Broadway for 5 years, this remains another moment where you can tell who has seen the show before and who has not. Those who haven't are usually grabbing their belongings ready to make an exit after those bows, and then boom, the lights come back up and the Lady M's start into the encore, and it is another instant reset in energy heading into the actual final bows for the show. It's just incredible to look back on the journey that Moulin Rouge has been on since its early production days in Boston to now being a Tony-winning Best Musical and celebrating its 5-year milestone on Broadway. This show has had such a profound impact on so many audiences, and no matter how many times we've seen it, it continues to keep us wanting to come back for more, more, more. Thank you so much for listening today and continuing to support this podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcast so you get notified when new episodes come out. And for more fun Erin content, follow along on Instagram at @tivating_patiently and on TikTok at @tivatingpatiently, and hope to have you back here for episode 103.